Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is mayoral candidate Frank Commisso Jr. And Frank is here to talk about the press conference that he held the other day at his headquarters about the fiscal health of Albany. So, Frank, how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great, Cynthia. Good morning, and we're here, and we have about 2.5 weeks until Democratic primary on September 12th, and we'll be out over the next 17 days talking to voters throughout the city of Albany, covering 23 square miles, and, you know, we're looking forward to it, and we feel good about September 12th and our ability to achieve victory on September 12th.
That's great. That's really great. You're out there every single day walking. But you held a press conference the other day, and you talked about, you know, the fiscal health of Albany. So can you give, like, an overview of what you said and why you said it?
We all want to live in a city where you have strong, well-funded public services, be those with the school district, city, county, and, of course, we have great library branches here in Albany. And people want to have those services provided at an affordable price. So that is the basics of government, is trying to provide some value for residents' tax dollars. And what has happened here in the city of Albany over the past several years is the city is in a period of rapidly deteriorating fiscal health. We talked about the credit rating that had been downgraded last year for the city. Of course, we know the state comptroller, the chief financial officer, that is, of New York State, has rated the city of Albany as having the highest level of fiscal stress among municipalities in New York State or cities in New York State, and that's not a good thing. And we know that there has been an independent third-party auditor, PFM, who came into the city earlier this year and found a deficit well in excess of $20 million. And, of course, we had a press conference this past week where we showed that there was also an internal memo drafted last year by folks that are advising Mayor Sheehan that suggested that the city needed to contemplate insolvency scenarios and legal ramifications of insolvency, the ability to not pay one's bills, and the financial implications of insolvency. So it's yet another piece of evidence that suggests that the incumbents' campaign and the folks over at City Hall are engaging in a massive and very expensive communications effort to suggest to voters that the city of Albany is in great fiscal health and that those public services that are essential that I talked about earlier are not in jeopardy and that there is not a risk of large tax increases. And of course, we simply have just a huge, massive amount of evidence to suggest otherwise. And just as much as we're focused on September 12th, I think it's important for voters to think of October 2nd, which is when Mayor Sheehan will release her 2018 budget proposal for the city of Albany. And that those public services that people depend upon and those public services being affordable is in great jeopardy. So we had that press conference, and I was joined by many candidates for Albany Common Council, and they, too, share that concern that there is significant risk presented to taxpayers here in the city of Albany.
You used the date October 2nd. If people do decide to vote for the mayor and then come October 2nd, a lot of them realize that, oh, my God, we're in worse shape than I thought we were. Do you think many people will have buyer's remorse at that point?
Well, as a voter, you don't get a receipt when you cast your vote. You have to be comfortable with your vote for a four-year period. And for folks in Albany, they should be looking at the candidates that are running for various public offices, and they should consider whose side are these candidates on, who has a demonstrated track record of being on the side of working class people, seniors on fixed incomes, working class families and employees. And they should be considering as well who is committed to providing affordability here in the city of Albany. And I would hope that folks, and many folks, well, luckily, many folks, I think, understand that while there is a massive communications effort that is being engaged in by the incumbents campaign and the incumbents administration at City Hall, I think many voters see through that. And they know that, provided all the evidence I stated before, that there is significant threat to these public services that people depend upon here in the city of Albany. So for folks that want to maintain trash collection and trash disposal at an affordable price, for folks that want to maintain strong fire protection services, for folks that want to maintain a police presence, or create a police presence, I should say, in many of our neighborhoods. And after all, it's rather sad, as we're talking, we had I believe, 26 shooting in the city of Albany last night, or yesterday, in North Albany. And we do need a much more robust police presence in our neighborhoods, and that's something we've talked about throughout this campaign. We think we can achieve that rather promptly by just reallocating the resources within the department. But those are things that people need to sit down with themselves and their families, neighbors, friends, coworkers, and when they talk and when they think about this race, they need to be thoughtful that there's a very clear alternative here. The incumbent is not even acknowledging that there is a deficit in the city. So if you cannot recognize the challenge that we face as a community, I think it is very difficult then to address that challenge. So for us, we'll continue to go out and talk to voters about that over the coming weeks. And we're making a significant level of progress every day going out and having more voters committed to our cause and towards taking action for change on September 12th.
You mentioned the word insolvency. Describe to me insolvency. What would happen to the city of Albany if it became insolvent?
Well, 2 years ago in 2015, the city was already flirting with insolvency and, of course, had to go out and borrow money to meet its obligations for the final two payroll periods of 2015. And we had identified that at that time. And that is a scenario that we do not want to be in. I mean, what would likely happen if Mayor Sheehan were reelected is folks would be looking at a large number of layoffs in city government. You would be looking at a tax cap override and significant property taxes. You would be looking at increased costs for obtaining permits to grow our economy, our taxable economy, that is, because that's our focus here, of course, is growing our taxable economy, and that hasn't happened under the incumbent's administration. And for people that want to maintain affordable trash pickup and trash disposal in the city of Albany, all those items are in jeopardy if Mayor Sheehan were to garner the most votes here in the Democratic primary and be reelected mayor. So there is significant challenges ahead for the city of Albany, and whoever's elected will face those challenges. But for folks in Albany that want honest leadership, I have offered them a clear alternative to the incumbent, that we can put ourselves in a position where together we jointly recognize that we have challenges and we address those. So we've talked about having an audit of all tax exemptions in the city of Albany. We've talked about having a workforce attrition plan going forward. We've talked about constructing a solar farm on city-owned property in Queens. We've talked about ways to grow our taxable economy through an incentive directed at young Albany residents that could rehabilitate our housing stock. These are things that we need to move forward with. And unfortunately, we have not only not made sufficient progress, we've actually regressed over the past 3.5 years. So we'll continue to go out and talk to voters over the next 17 days. And I'm very confident that on September 12th, the voters in Albany are going to vote for a change. And we'll make history by doing that for the first time in 129 years here in the city of Albany, because after all, an incumbent has not been removed from office in the city of Albany since 1888. But there is a strong desire to clean up our neighborhoods, make the appropriate investments, and maintain those investments in public services here in the city of Albany.
Now, the city of Albany has many tax-exempt properties. What would you do if you were mayor? How would you address that issue?
It's been a source of frustration for me and for many others over the past several years that there is a position that has been taken by the city of Albany to just simply shrug our shoulders and refrain that we are a state capital. And therefore, since we're a state capital, we are just going to have a certain level of tax-exempt property in the city of Albany. What we've talked about during this campaign is that it is an unsustainable financial model to have 37% of the property value paying for 100% of the cost of services within a municipality. And we are going to engage in an audit of all tax exemptions in the city of Albany so that we can determine which exemptions are appropriate and which ones are not. Now, we have $8.6 billion in tax exemptions here in the city of Albany, and we know that many of them are good exemptions. Folks have STAR and Senior STAR, and folks have veterans exemptions. Those are good exemptions, and there are good charitable exemptions as well. However, there is also discretionary exemptions that are provided. So there are luxury condominiums at 17 Chapel, and those units are being billed at about one-tenth of what they should be billed. So now we are depleting resources from our school district, our city government, county government, and our library branches. And the same can be said at 27 Western, that there are inappropriate tax exemptions there as well. And of course, we can find reduced assessments up at 1475 Washington, which is a new private for-profit dorm. And I'm sure that there are plans already being drafted and underway to have a luxury housing development on what was formerly called Laughlin Street, but now Sandage Way. And, of course, we have abuse of the charitable exemption as well. The Fuller Road Management Corporation, of course, has well over 30 for-profit companies located under its charitable scientific research umbrella. And, of course, Albany Medical Center has a parking garage that is servicing the luxury developments in Park South, which will not be paying taxes to the school district, city, county, or libraries until 2038. And that garage, which is providing parking for all those residents of the Park South development, of course, is charitable, allegedly, and not and is exempt from property taxation. So we have talked about having an equitable system here in the city of Albany, and the first thing we need to do is collect the data. That is how good decisions are made, and we will conduct that audit in the first quarter of next year and look and review at every tax exemption in the city of Albany, and then we will take the appropriate next steps, which may be inclusive of revoking the charitable status of some entities and determining whether these tax exemptions that were discovered over the past several months within the city of Albany that to this point there has been no documentation provided for will be found. And that is something that for me is something that leaders do. They are accountable when there is illegal tax exemptions and inappropriate tax exemptions within a municipality. You don't simply blame your assessor. Speaking of accountability again, when there is a overflow of sewage into a river, you don't blame an employee who's on vacation. When it is revealed, like we did over the past week, that there is two sets of books in city government, two sets of accounting records, you don't merely blame the consultant. There needs to be accountability in city government, and that's something we've talked about and is refreshing for many voters as we head towards the September 12th Democratic primary.
I had recently interviewed the mayor of Cohoes, and he is in the process of looking into municipal internet in Cohoes. I hear more and more people, and I see more and more people on Facebook complain about the new cable company we have. And this cable company is nationwide, and there's tremendous dissatisfaction. You know, we more or less, we are prisoners to them because people are tied into the internet, into the TVs. How do you break out of that? Would you work with the mayor of Cohoes to look into municipal internet in Albany as a way of spurring economic development?
Well, the first item is that it is becoming increasingly clear that having access to high-speed and affordable internet service is effectively a necessity in 2017, and it will be going forward. So once you accept that premise, there is a great deal of merit to undertaking a review of the effectiveness of having that be a publicly owned, publicly operated utility. And here in the city of Albany, we do not have access through the private markets to the high-speed internet. Of course, that's a function of that provider, Time Warner Spectrum, not providing that service here within the city of Albany. Now, many suburban, wealthier communities do have access to that service, but that is something that I certainly think we should review. I think it could provide a level of stimulus into our local economy that people would have from a housing perspective. You would have a additional resource here in the city of Albany. People would demand housing, and that would be a welcome change here in the city of Albany to have more demand for our housing stock and have a growing taxable economy. And then from the business perspective as well, I could only imagine that many small businesses would be highly interested in having a high-speed, affordable, quality internet option here in the city of Albany. And I could see it very much being an economic driver in many of our neighborhoods. And again, that would promote the growth of small, locally owned, locally operated, taxable businesses. Our greatest challenge in the city has been that all the growth in the city's economy over the past several years has been non-taxable. The convention center is non-taxable. Our hospitals are non-taxable. Of course, we talked before about many of the luxury housing units are not paying property taxes throughout the city of Albany. So you cannot have a sustainable economy when you do not have additional demand and growth for housing and for businesses, and you don't have that taxable growth. And the results are very clear. I would only ask your listeners not to listen to me, not to listen to the incumbent about the growth of the taxable economy. Just simply open your school tax bills on September 1st. And at that time, they'll determine that the city's taxable economy is, in fact, not growing because the taxes on homeowners are increasing in the city of Albany. So there is a very much a negative trajectory here in the city of Albany where people's homes are worth less, their taxes are more, and their taxes are increasing. And they have a mayor that is unwilling to acknowledge that reality. So we've offered a different direction here where we will certainly engage in a review of municipal internet and a municipally owned and municipally operated internet service. And what is happening in Cohoes is a great development. And I think additional municipalities will look to Cohoes, will look to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and see these other examples where municipal internet has served as an economic stimulus.
Frank, I know you've got many things to do over the next few weeks, and you've got a busy schedule today. So, in closing, what would you say to our listeners today? Give a pitch why your candidacy is a good one.
Sure, and for folks that value an honest, competent government here in the city of Albany, I believe we offer the best choice for those voters. What has happened over the past several years has been just very disheartening for many people here in the city of Albany. And the evidence that folks are becoming more distant from their city government is more clear than ever. In 1993, there was a Democratic primary for mayor that pitted Jerry Jennings against Harold Joyce. And nearly 25,000 people voted in that Democratic primary. And 4 years ago, when Kathy Sheehan and Corey Ellis ran for mayor, people were so uninspired that only about 10,000 people voted for mayor in the Democratic primary. So we know that there's 36,000 Democrats here throughout our city. And we're going out and engaging with many of those, many thousands of those 36,000. And we plan to try to touch every one of those 36,000 over the coming days to go talk to them and let them know that there is an alternative, that there is a more accessible, competent way forward, that we can have strong public services here in the city of Albany at an affordable cost. And you can have a mayor that you can talk to and that understands that Albany is a medium-sized city. And in a medium-sized city, the mayor should be accessible to people, should not be locked away in an office or merely attend ribbon cuttings and press conferences. But you should go out with the departments as mayor. You should go out and speak to people throughout the city, and you should do it regularly. It shouldn't just happen for the few weeks before election. It should go on throughout a 48-month cycle. And that's something we've talked to people about. I'm committed to. I think for folks who know me here in the city of Albany, and of course I was born and raised in the city, been in the city my entire life, they know that I'm the type of person that would offer a much more effective city government. It would be a city government that would not view itself as above those people that it represents, but would view itself as empowered by those people and would go out and seek the thoughts, comments, concerns, suggestions of those people on a daily basis. And that would be embedded into the philosophy of a commissal administration. We would have department heads that value that, and we would have second-level folks in city government throughout the departments that value those principles. And we would have a workforce in the city of Albany that would have a much higher level of morale that would be willing and would be instructed to treat those residents and taxpayers as effectively their bosses, effectively, because that is what it is. So for us, we'll go out and continue to talk to people over the next several weeks. I encourage folks that are your listeners to reach out to us if they have any way that they believe they could help us achieve victory on September 12th. They can reach us anytime. We're at our campaign headquarters. We have a presence on social media. We have a website. We have phone numbers, emails. There's many, many ways to reach out to us. And please, if one of your listeners believes that they could cast their vote on September 12th, or they could encourage a neighbor or a coworker or a friend or a family member, reach out to us, and we'll be happy to work with you. We'll be delighted to work with you, I should say. And we'll continue moving forward here over the next 17 days.
Frank, give your contact information.
Well, a couple of things people can do. One is they can come down to our campaign headquarters at number 125 Jefferson Street. Of course, they could find us online at www.commissalforalbany.com. We, of course, can be emailed or called, and of course, many people find us increasingly through Facebook, either through messaging us or commenting on previous posts we have. So I would recommend folks either walk into the headquarters, reach out to us on Facebook, or, of course, they can fill the form through the website to reach out to us, or my phone number, of course, is very accessible, and that's on our palm cards that have gone to many thousands of households throughout the city. So by all means, I encourage anyone to reach out to us at any time.
Would you like to give your phone number now?
Well, people can reach out to us at any time at area code 518-815-0873. Of course, they can email us at frank@commissalforalbany.com. And, of course, we're on Twitter and Facebook as well. And, again, we're here at the headquarters every day for at least 12 hours. So throughout the entirety of the regular day, anybody can stop into our campaign headquarters at number 125 Jefferson Street.
Thanks, Frank. You've been listening to Frank Commissio Jr., who is running for mayor in the city of Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. And if you're within the city limits, please tune in to WCAA 107.3 FM and listen to the new radio station. And if you want to become involved in the new radio station, we have meetings every Tuesday on Grand Street, 68 Grand Street, from 6 to 8. Thanks, Frank, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend.